VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. And this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
We kind of lost something here, but I'm what's left of Steve VanWee, because I've been under the weather a little bit, and my wife's been under the weather a little bit, and I'm going to apologize up front if I start coughing and don't get it caught in time, but I'll do my best.
If you do, I'll try and take over.
Well, good. If I give you a look of some desperation, then you know what's going on here. Apparently, a lot of people have this right now around the area, so I shouldn't be too surprised, but I get sick so seldom that it kind of caught us off guard. It snuck up on me. I started to feel it last week right here and had that dreaded feeling by the time we went home. But enough about that. There's so much fun things to talk about. First off, welcome everybody to the regulars. I thank you so much for always being here on Saturdays with us. It makes the show possible. And if you're new to the show, stick around for a while. You hopefully will learn some things. We plan to spend the hour talking about mostly financial things and a few things that relate to finances. But if you want to assume a little editorial control, all you have to do is pick up the telephone and dial 904-222-TALK. It's 222-8255. Callers will go to the head of the line, as always, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about. A condition that we bring to you every week by being here live and in person, unlike most shows, which are pre-recorded, and you can't change it no matter what, except with that little dial in front of you that goes click. So click it over to this one and stay here. Adam and I will be hard-pressed to have a bad time today, because, holy cow, if you deal in the market these days, it's just tough to be in a bad mood.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. Just another week, another new all-time highs. And
in fact, my theme today, which I've been thinking about for the last couple hours, is, oh my gosh, this market is so high. Does that mean you should sell? And there's a lot of viewpoints on that. There's a lot of data. There's a lot of viewpoints. There's comfort zones. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of that today. But let's start out with saying, well, how good was it?
It was really good. Okay.
I thought so. Okay. Yeah. End of market. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So the market being this high scares a lot of people. But There's an old saying that the trend is your friend. And right now, the trend is definitely up. And if you thought at the beginning of this week it was high, well, just wait till the end of the week. So,
shocking end of the week.
Yeah, the Dow Dow increased 1.7%. The NASDAQ was up 1.8%. And the S&P was up 1.5%. And it really happened early in the week. And then Thursday and Friday tried to give some back, but both ended up basically at the close regaining everything and more or less ended up flat. So closed out what was a really good week. So the really funny thing is that all the pundits said that Trump would bring fear to the market, and if he got elected, that things would plummet. And here we are sitting with the VIX fear gauge as low as it has been in decades, which is just contrary to everything you might have heard prior to the election and even since the election. So,
you know, the funny thing about free advice, it's worth what you pay for it.
Wait a second. Isn't that what we're doing right now?
No, we're just describing what happened.
Okay. But
advice comes later in the show.
Gotcha. Still free.
Still free.
anyone listening. Mm-hmm. So,
unless you want me to charge for it.
I don't think that model would work these days.
Can't pay by radio?
Nope.
Oh, darn.
So because January and February last year were so bad, and then everything kind of rebounded, but starting on February 11th of last year, the on a year-over-year basis, we're seeing the NASDAQ is up 30%. Can you believe that? 1 year back from today?
Yes, I can, because I've lived through the misery and the joy that came with it,
yeah.
Before and after, during and after, I guess I should say.
And we actually have a trivia question related to that a little bit later in the show,
yep.
But we'll get to that soon.
What a difference a year makes.
No doubt.
And on a difference an election makes.
On a sector basis, this year, the only weak areas are energy and telecom. Well, technology is leading the way this year to date. Earnings season ends with Walmart next week. Can you believe we're at the end of earnings season already, too? This year is flying by,
as
usual. It is
flying by. It seems every year to accelerate. And I know that happens more as you get older, but I think everybody's experiencing the same thing nowadays.
Definitely. So far this earnings season, 63% of companies are beating on earnings and 57% are beating on sales. The earnings rate's a bit lower than some recent quarters, but the revenue rate is stronger than we have seen recently. This is a very good thing.
If you listen
to the show over the last year, we've been saying repeatedly that we need to see top-line revenue growth improve, and so far this quarter it has. So we're excited to see that. That's a very good sign for this economy. And speaking of the economy, the economic data keeps supporting the stock market rally. Retail sales had been pretty poor through the holidays, but came in this month better than expected. They rose 4% or 0.4% versus 0.1% that was expected. And there were some positive revisions to December and January.
Oh, that's never happened.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they always like to talk down the December sales. And then along about February, when everybody's forgotten what stupidity went on in December and January, they admit the truth.
The only sectors that declined in this report were autos and auto parts, furniture and miscellaneous, whatever that entails. And gas stations were actually the biggest gainer. And a lot of that had to do with the price of fuel increasing, but that happens.
Gas is a funny commodity lately. It's usually much more predictable.
Yeah, it hasn't been following the typical patterns. And part of that is that we're still sitting at pretty close to an all-time high in oil inventory levels, so that makes a big difference.
OPEC talks and talks about cutting production, but OPEC has been talking for so many years, I don't think anybody believes a word they say.
And that might be part of it, too.
Might be.
In other economic news, jobless claims did what they've been doing lately, coming in at 239,000, which is well below the symbolic 300,000 mark. So that's a great number. The Philly Fed general business conditions had a huge pop this month to 43.3. That's the highest it's been since the early 80s. Yeah, pretty crazy. Empire Manufacturing, which is the New York area, rose from 6.5 to 18.7. That's the highest reading since September of 2014. And not only in manufacturing, but the consumer is doing better as well. Foreclosures, bankruptcies, and collections are down in the last 4 years. Down lower than they've been in the last 4 years. The housing market is also on solid ground. It may surprise you to learn that while multifamily units are back to pre-recession levels, single-family housing starts are not. So part of that, I believe, is that millennials just aren't buying houses yet. And Gen X doesn't have enough people to make up that difference. We're such a small mm-hmm. generation. So when the millennials start to buy houses, look out.
Look
the housing
out.
Market is going to take off.
Yeah, long term, it's certainly positioned. If you are actively looking for what to do with the rest of your life, there are a lot of the building trades that might be a real smart way to get involved.
It's a cyclical industry, so you have to be prepared for that, but it is a good place to be right now.
It is indeed. All right, well, after the break, I'll give out the trivia question. It is related to what a difference a year makes, and then we're going to talk a little bit about whether or not we should be selling into this thing. And we'll take the phone call. Megan, hold on. Got to take the break first. Didn't want to interrupt it this way. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And before we get to the phones, I did want to give out the trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken at 904-636-7888. Now, we know that it's been an interesting year in the market. Last year had a bad start, this year had a good start. Adam just said that the NASDAQ over that time is up 30%. Well, we know the NASDAQ is the most volatile of the indices, so I want to know how much the Dow is up in the year that ended last night at the close of the market. And the secret to that is just what I said, it's less than 30. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Wonderfully. And how about you?
I am doing wonderful.
Good. What's up today?
So I wanted some financial advice for like a couple just kind of starting out.
Oh, okay. What type?
How do you mean?
Wait, like, do you have some money? Do you have no money? You're just getting started, know nothing about it, somewhat educated?
Some money.
How much?
Some.
I said some money.
Okay, and employment?
Yes.
Both?
Both, yes.
Okay, and making a decent buck?
Well, he is. I'm still in the internship phase, and I'm in my MBA, so.
Oh, nice. Well, let's see. The first thing you do is make sure you can get your bills paid.
Okay.
Which means the B word.
Budget.
Yep.
Never fun, but probably the best planning tool that you can start with.
But no one ever wants to hear us say the word budget. And I admit, I'm probably guilty as charged also. It's a terrible, rotten word because it exposes many of the flaws that we all have.
And there's something about a budget, too, that I was going to talk about a little bit later, but I'll bring it up now. It's one thing to make a budget. The second part of that is actually tracking yourself against a budget and sticking to a budget. That is the really hard part. Anyone can make a budget. You can put some numbers on a piece of paper. You've got a budget. But are you going to stick with it? And are you going to make sure that you're sticking with it? That's the really tough spot. So have you done anything like that?
We haven't started making a specific budget, but we've gone through and, well, I guess budgeting-wise, like rent and meals and stuff like that, yes, but like treats and stuff, not so much.
Well, that's an important part of it. You should set a monthly goal for spending outside of your necessities, such as, I mean, I'm just going to throw out a number, $500 a month. And then just spend a month tracking what you actually spend on entertainment and going out to dinner or going to the movies or things that you like to do and see where you are relative to that and see if you need to make an adjustment. It's okay if in that month you go over your $500, but you need to be realistic about then adjusting your budget accordingly. So if it turns out you're spending $700 a month, make sure that you can fit that in your budget based on your income and paying all those other things that you need to pay first. Second, I would start to look at what you're saving. And your goal starting out, I mean, it can be whatever you want it to be, but funding an IRA at $5,500 a year, it would be a really good goal to start. And if you're not doing that, that's something that should be in the plans in the future. Maybe based on your next raise or maybe you need to look at taking in a second job at this point because getting started out is expensive these days. So I think those are some really basic goals that you need to take a look at and start working towards.
Another thing, if one of you, either or both of you, have an employer that offers a 401k, I would start there. Especially if there are some matching funds available. Then trying to contribute from your salary into that does a couple of things. First off, you never see that money, so you don't have to physically write a check or move it into the IRA. And it will give you a tax advantage right away as it's deducted from your check. And if there is a matching, that just increases the return on that money astronomically. So it is the money that you put away now in these first few years together that's going to create the eventual financial independence that we all strive for when you get up around my age.
And if you have a Roth option, that is something to look at as well when you're young and in lower tax brackets. And in addition, with a Roth IRA, there are some special provisions that allow you to use some of that money to buy your first home.
That was my next question. Are you homeowners or do you plan to be?
Plan to be, but not within the next 2 years.
Okay. As Adam brought up, if you do a Roth IRA, in particular outside of a 401k, and you have that money in there for 5 years and have been contributing, and you do decide to become a first-time home buyer, all the money can come out of there tax-free forever, and it can, if you have to use it for that purpose or a few other purposes. But if you're looking to get into home ownership at a reasonable age, I cannot think of a better way to do it than by starting saving your down payment through the Roth IRA means. So okay. What other priorities do you need? How are your automobiles, things like that? And then, of course, there's the big one. How long until kids, if any?
That has not been planned yet, no.
They aren't always.
Yeah, that's true also.
But we'd like to think that it will be somewhat controllable. But how about automobiles? Are you okay, or are we going to be needing
automobiles
those?
Automobiles are paid off.
Wonderful.
Oh, that's great.
And running well, all that?
Oh, yeah.
It sounds to me like you're in pretty good shape for starters, but I think just what Adam says, you budget, try to figure out what you're spending first, cut anything back that isn't necessary, see if you can actually adhere to the budget, and then try to make that budget include putting some money away for your later years. There's no better way than to start with a budget.
And just the fact that you're calling the show and thinking about it at this early stage of your life and your career tells me that you're probably ahead of the game, because most people who are young and just getting started are just trying to make ends meet. So the fact you're thinking about it is a good head start.
A budget is really nothing more than a one-month financial plan, is it? 1 month at a time, time after time after time. The only way you can plan is if you know what you're spending, and the only way you're going to keep from overspending is to control it against some norm. So that's why we recommend it. Not fun, as I said, but you'll thank yourself 20, 30 years from now.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Sure. You want to take a shot at the trivia?
Sure. Can you repeat the question?
Sure. Year over year, as of the close of business last night, what percentage is the Dow Jones Industrial Average up, knowing that it's less than the 30% the NASDAQ is up?
I'm going to go with 27%.
Ooh, just a little high.
So close.
Really close, though.
All righty.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Thanks for the call, Megan.
Boy, there's an enviable position. You can't imagine. Well, you probably can, but most people probably can't imagine how many times I look back and wish that I had started knowing a lot of this stuff a little bit sooner.
Well, I have the same thoughts for mm-hmm. myself. I probably started out earlier than most people, but at the same time, I could have started earlier and it would have benefited me greatly.
Well, I know how quickly somebody gets into their 60s, and you're probably thinking it happens pretty quickly when you get into your 40s.
Absolutely. I can't even believe it.
It is really difficult. And when you look at your friends and your friends' kids and your own kids, and you see how quickly time goes by, you realize that every day you don't start that savings is a potential problem. And in fact, I have a little article right here that says millennials expect more than half of their retirement money to come from personal means. What percentage do you suppose haven't even started saving yet?
Well, many of the millennials aren't even of an age where they can start saving.
That part is true.
I would guess, I don't know what percentage that is, but I would say that maybe above 60% haven't.
No, actually, this one fell into that category that we once in a while find, that it was sort of a pleasant surprise. Hmm. The number itself is not particularly good as it relates to society, but I was a little pleasantly surprised. 42% of millennials have not started saving yet.
Wow, that's actually better than I thought.
I'd much rather state that the other way.
Yeah.
58% of millennials have started saving.
And I have read a lot of things that said millennials are more aware that they need to be doing this than my generation was, per se. And so I guess those numbers back that up.
Well, I do hope that that's true. I hope it continues to be true, and I hope that shows like this have made some little mark or are making some little mark on some people, folks who just will not believe how quickly it comes to pass that you're going to be on your own. And if you're trusting things like Social Security, it's fine to trust in getting some Social Security, but if anybody thinks you're going to live on it, you're not going to be living any kind of lifestyle.
No, that's not the way you want to retire.
Nope. If you want to retire the way you like to live, you got to do it yourself, or at least help yourself do it. All right, I want to talk about some headlines and some other articles that came in. Adam's got some more information right after the break about his following up on his series of how we waste money. This one's particularly interesting because it involves having fun. And wasting money having fun is probably the easiest thing in the world.
It's probably the single biggest way we waste money, I would guess.
In fact, a lot of that's just little day-to-day things like stopping at Starbucks. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about wasting a lot of money.
Yeah, vacation style.
Vacations coming up after the break. Okay, trivia question. How much is the Dow Jones Industrial Average up year over year as of the close of business last night? We know it's something less than 27%. Lines are open. Give us a call at 904-222-TALK, 222-8255. And anything that you would prefer to talk about other than what we're going to talk about, just pick up the phone, give us a call, and you'll go immediately to the head of the class. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. And without breaking my promises, good morning, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Real fine, how are you?
Very good. I listen to y'all a lot, and I'm 59. I'm putting 11% into my 401k. My company's putting 4% in, and between now and the time I retire, probably 6 or 7 years, I plan on increasing it at least 3% a year until I retire. You got guys that are coming on this on radio station saying that we shouldn't be putting money in 401k, that it's wrong, or it's a tax trap or so. How can they come on and tell us not to put money in our 401k?
They're salesmen. They're salesmen, not financial advisors. That's the only reason. They're not regulated by the SEC like we are. If we told you that, we would be kicked out of the business.
Okay, because you're the one that told me to keep increasing my 401k, and that's my goal now, is every year put at least 3% in. And if I've got more, I'm going to put more in. But I feel like at least 3% until I think I've got like 6 or 7 more years. So I hope that's a good goal. I'm not sure, but
it's a wonderful goal. Where else could you get that 4% free money along with a 25% or greater instant return on your money through the tax return, plus be exercising dollar cost averaging every time you get paid? It is the most beautiful investment vehicle ever. And the people who aren't wanting you to do that don't want you to, because they want to see you put your money into some kind of a fancy insurance plan,
an annuity,
something like that. And they are not regulated yet, although now this is changing. If things go well in April, the government's going to introduce and start enforcing the new fiduciary standard. And that's going to have to change a lot of people who are talking about retirement plans. Now, it doesn't cover people who advise on non-retirement plans. But all IRAs, for instance, and all retirement annuities, all those things are going to have their standards changed for their advertising. This should help. And you're going to hear a lot of it between now and April, I'll tell you.
Oh yeah, they're gonna overload the radio and airwaves with these advertisements getting you to buy in before they're held to that new standard. So, just a heads up: if it's bad now, it's gonna get worse.
In fact,
that's why I listen to y'all.
Well, thank you, Adam.
That's why I turn into y'all on Saturday. I listen to y'all, and so if I'm going to get in the news, I feel like y'all are telling me what's right.
So we appreciate it. Adam and I were just talking during the break. You'll kind of like this one. We were looking over an article that's called Explaining the 26F Programs. A 26F program is something that somebody made up to sell you an insurance plan, and they are selling it based on the fear that people have that there's a, ready for this term now, retirement blackout date in April. Now, what was a retirement blackout date? It means the implementation of the fiduciary standard where people are going to have to start shutting their mouth if they're going to give bad advice. That's a retirement blackout date to these people. Nice stuff, huh? You got to give them an A for creativity. I had one here.
That's why people listen to y'all.
Oh, and by the way, guess what they're selling?
I'm afraid to find out.
A newsletter for $39 a year, but the renewal is only $79 a year.
Nice.
Isn't that great?
Hey, Mike,
that's quality right there.
Mike, do you want to take a shot at our trivia question?
24.
Ooh, a little low.
All right. We've got a good bracket, though. Thanks,
we
Mike.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You too.
You too. Bye. Captain Dave.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Never better. How about you?
I got a question. I've been hearing on radio stations an ad that says something about double-digit returns on a government secured investment, but they never say what it is. You have any idea what this thing is?
Oh, it's hard to tell. If they're giving you a number like 13.2%, I know exactly what it is.
It's an ad. It's like a blind ad. I forget the name of the company. You have to call them this and that, but it's a government secured investment with double digit returns. And then they also say, and President Trump endorses this too. So. And I thought you might have heard it. It's on your other radio station you used to be on.
Well, it's probably somewhere that if you start digging into this thing, and if you're willing to give them all the personal information that you have to give them before they'll tell you what it is, it would come down to the annuity business.
I was thinking that, you know, I thought maybe you had heard it and knew what the scam was, just because it's got to be a scam. I mean, there isn't any such thing as guaranteed double-digit returns in this particular market. This is not 1979.
Exactly.
My favorite one lately is the 13.2% one, which has as a sub-headline under that, with no risk.
Oh, I love that. Where do I go to sign up?
Yeah,
well,
me too.
The website's right there, but of course, you have to divulge all your personal information to get it. I tell you what they're doing, though. It's an annuity where they're crediting your account with a 10% bonus for signing up.
Right, yeah.
So that's a 10% return, and then they have a guaranteed return inside the annuity of 3.2, and that's 13.2, so they advertise it. Well, is it truly no risk? Do you think the government is insuring this money? No.
No?
No.
Some insurance company, maybe.
Yeah, and no insurance company in the history of this country has ever failed, right?
I think you're wrong about that. I think a few of them have failed.
Well, then, I don't think under those circumstances you could say no risk, could you?
Yeah. No, I guess you can't. Anyway, I've heard this ad 3 or 4 times because, you know, I'm a talk radio junkie. And I just thought, maybe Steve knows what they're talking about because I don't want to call him.
I virtually guarantee you that it's either an annuity or a life insurance, a fully funded life insurance, and you can't tell necessarily until you get down to the end. But that double-digit return is what we call a paper return.
Yeah.
If you put in $100,000 and they credit you a $10,000 bonus, and 22 days later you're feeling kind of like, oh, I made a mistake, I want my money back, you think you're going to get $110,000? No.
Well, you know, there's an old thing. At one time in my life, I sold cars for a while, and there was an old thing where you would write up the deal, and then you would. This is the word you would say: if you work it backwards, I can show you how much you're saving.
If you work it backwards, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Figures can lie and liars can figure. But that's exactly what you said to the client, you said, to the customer. You said, look, here's the price and here's everything. Well, I don't know if that's real good. Well, let's work it backwards and see how much you saved.
I love it.
If you want to look at what the highest yielding government backed treasury is right now, it's the 30-year, which it almost always is. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the current yield, according to CNN Money, is 3.03%. So yeah, not anywhere near double digits.
And boy, is that a fantasy.
Yeah, no kidding. And then, of course, you got taxes.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. It'll be that way.
What do you think inflation will run in 30 years?
I don't know. Let me get my crystal ball out.
No kidding.
Hey, listen, we could just easily have deflation.
Well, actually, we could have not only deflation, but we could also have lowering tax rates. And a lot of these things are being sold to people now based on, oh, you're going to be paying such high rates in retirement. But really, nobody's talking about that anymore.
Nope, I'll tell you. Hey, well, listen, we can always go back to Jimmy Carter. We could have stagflation. That was a lot of fun.
How important does a guy have to be to get a whole concept named after him?
Listen, you guys have a great weekend. Always good to talk to you.
You want to take a shot at the trivia?
I never knew what it was, so don't worry about it.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Be good.
See ya.
All right. We're going to have to take our last break, and then we'll be back. These topics we're talking about now are things that make financial advisors, real ones like us, who just cringe. They're so blatant, and they appeal to your greed, and they appeal to your fear more than anything. And that's exactly why they're written that way. That's exactly what they're trying to do to you. You got to get them in the place and get their information, or you're never going to be able to sell them anything. So after the break, Adam's going to tell you a little bit about saving or not wasting, I guess, some money on your vacations. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some bad people and how they're not treating their clients well, and a bunch of other stuff. So don't go anywhere. It could be a lot of fun. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. We'll be right back.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And now that you know that, I would assume that it would be very smart to tell you, if you'd like to talk to us, how to do so.
Yeah, so we actually have day jobs. We're fee-only financial planners. We are fiduciaries, and we're located in Jacksonville Beach, right off the Marsh Landing Parkway exit of Butler Boulevard, so easy to get to from all points in the city. And if you want to reach us, you can call the office. It's 904-685-1505, or you can find us on our website at www.vanweefinancial.com, and we do a lot of good stuff on there. You can book a meeting with us right from the website. And come in and see us. There's never a charge for an initial consultation. We spend at least an hour with you, and I promise you, you will learn something during that meeting, even if we don't decide to do business together. So find us online.
As I like to say, the primo father-son investment advisory firm at the beach.
That's pretty specific.
It's good to be specific.
Yep, that's true.
All right. Going on vacation. Save some money.
Yeah.
Or going on vacation, don't waste some money.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
I don't want this to come off like I'm advocating for not taking vacations, because I'm actually a huge fan of taking vacations. I think that in today's 24/7, always connected work environment, vacations are even more important than they used to be. There's just very little time off these days. So planning out a good vacation can be a great stress relief. However, if you come away from that vacation in debt, you're going to add stress to your life when you get back. And that's going to completely defeat the purpose of going on vacation in the first place. So a carefully planned vacation financially can really save you from that type of result. The first thing, as I mentioned earlier, is a budget. How many people out there actually budget for their vacations? I would say not many. But really, that's, you know, figuring out how you're going to pay for it is the key to not having that stress when you get back of paying for it. So sit down and figure out all your costs and put it on a pen and paper or an Excel spreadsheet, depending on how technology-oriented you are, and really try and come up with a good estimate. So the first thing is your travel costs. Depending on what type of trip you're taking, it could be one of your biggest line items. Include airline tickets, airport parking, fuel costs, rental car costs, train or bus tickets, and anything else that might be included in physically moving you from your home to your travel destination. The second thing is your housing costs. If you travel somewhere for vacation, you have to stay somewhere. Unless you're staying with friends or family, you are going to pay for it. So this could also be a really large part of your budget, depending on where you are. Some places are cheaper than others. And if you're staying at the Ritz, well, that's fine if you can afford it. But really think about that. If you are not going to be spending a whole lot of time in your actual hotel room outside of sleeping, consider some other options. You can always look at Airbnb or VRBO, which stands for vacationrentalbyowner.com, for deals on houses or condos that might be a better fit for your vacation. Plus, you might be able to get more for your money versus going to an expensive hotel or resort. Look at your food costs. I have a family of four. This is a big expense for us day to day and when we're on vacation. It's also the hardest thing to budget for because you never really know how much you're going to eat in versus eat out before you get there. And you're so what I do is just set a budget of around $100 a day. And then I add 20 or 30% for sort of a factor of safety. And then once we're on vacation, try and look at it midway through and see how you're doing. If you find that you're spending a lot more than what you budgeted, maybe eat in a few more times than you were planning on. Just do little things like that can really add up. Lastly, entertainment and activities. This is probably the biggest variable you'll deal with. It depends what you're going to do. If you are going to the beach, your entertainment costs might be minimal. Maybe renting a chair for the day or buying sunscreen, things like that. However, if you're going to Disney, you may need a second mortgage to pay for the park tickets. So you really have to take that into consideration and try and plan that out ahead of time. Look for deals on tickets. There are lots of people online who can offer you discounted tickets. Your hotel might be able to do that. So look at the packages. There's a lot of good ways to save money in this area. And lastly, there's look at your miscellaneous charges. These are bound to come up during your stay. Things like someone is inevitably going to forget their toothbrush or their underwear. So just put in a little bit of budget for these type of events that arise during your stay. So once you've gone through the process of budgeting for your vacation, that's the easy part. As I mentioned earlier with Megan, the hard part is sticking to that budget. And the carefree attitude of vacationing also adds to that problem. So do a mid-vacation checkup and see where you are versus your budget. If you're over, try and adjust. The third thing is financing a vacation on credit cards.
Ooh.
This is a big no-no. I'm not saying don't use your credit card to pay for the vacation. Just make sure you have the money saved to pay it off when the bill comes. Because there are a lot of reasons to actually charge to a credit card on vacation. There's travel insurance that's free on some cards. There is points that you can get that will actually help you pay for that vacation. So there's a lot of reasons to use it. Just don't use it as your financing vehicle. And then afterwards, you're paying 20 to 25% interest on taking that vacation, which essentially is adding to the financial stress that you're already experiencing. Number four is not booking in advance. As a general rule, the longer you wait to book your vacation, the more expensive it is. So start thinking about it early. You know you're going to take that summer vacation. Just start planning it maybe in January. Number five is having firm travel dates. This one's tough to get around because we all have families and kids who are in school, and so you only have certain times that you can go. And you're not the only one who knows that. The hotels, the tour operators, the rental car companies, the airlines, they all know when you're going to want to go on vacation too. So do something like think about leaving Sunday instead of Friday afternoon or Saturday morning on your vacation. You'll find that Sunday morning fares on the airlines are typically cheaper. So something to take a look at. It may take a couple days off your vacation, but it may save you several hundred dollars. Worth looking at. Number six is flying instead of driving. I know that driving with a family can be an interesting experience, but economically, it usually makes more financial sense than flying. Airline tickets are expensive, but earplugs are cheap. Number seven, This one's just kind of a catch-all for everything I've missed, but there's some good ones you want to think about. If you're traveling internationally, use cash or a credit card that doesn't charge travel fees. Sometimes all-inclusive vacation packages may seem like a great deal, but all of those packages are designed to make other people money. Just remember that. And that's about it. And we have a call.
Perfect timing. Good morning, George.
Yes, I had a question about what part of your assets should be in bonds and stocks if you're over 80 and do not need income from your investments.
Oh, good question.
It is a good question. In fact, I'm going to let Adam handle that because that I think it's right up his alley. He's the portfolio designer among us.
So your day-to-day living expenses are all covered by other means outside of your investments. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what's the primary goal for that money then?
Just growth of a reasonable amount.
Okay. You want to leave it to someone when you're no longer here?
Right.
Okay. And do you have a spouse or dependent children or anything like that?
No dependent children.
Okay. I would say that it's really a personal decision then. You can afford to take quite a bit of risk relative to other people who are your age. There's really no reason you need to be in bonds. And in fact, over the last 2 months, if you had had a higher percentage in bonds, you would have made a lot less money than you had if you had the majority of your money in equities. That's not always true, obviously, but there's no right answer. It just depends what kind of risk tolerance you have and how you want to invest. You're in a kind of a unique situation where you don't need the money, so growth is your primary motivation, and bonds are really held for income.
Are you significantly different than 50-50 right now?
Yes.
It weighted toward what, bonds or stocks?
Stocks.
Yeah, like he said, you can do it because of your situation. I certainly would never recommend that you go less than 50-50 given your circumstances, whereas another person your age in a different situation may be 20 or 30% stocks. But at least 50 for you sounds very reasonable. And if you're even more than that right now, I certainly wouldn't worry about it.
No, I wouldn't have a problem with that either.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The Dow was up 25.6% in that year, having started last year really badly and having started this year really well. The question of the day was, should we sell? It's at 20,600, and the answer is very simply, no. I could get more complex than that, but I'll tell you a lot more about that next week when we're here, and who knows, it might be 20,008, it might be 19,900. That's the problem. You can't tell. All right, we'll see you next time. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.